Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Biha Adi Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi jana vallabha Girivaradadi Gopi jana vallabha Girivaradadi Yasoda Nandana Raja Janadandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janadandana Namunatira Anachari Namunatira Anachari Jaya Gaura Nithai Jaya Gaura Nithai Gaura Nithai Jaya Gaura Nithai Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna, everyone. Nice to see that you have come on time, which is the secret pleasure of all lecture givers. Thank you very much. I would like to now, after yesterday's, let us say, very narrative class, where we heard about Arjuna's first meeting with Krishna during the Svayamvara, which he won by Krishna's mercy. And we heard about Krishna's second, or Arjuna's second mission, or let us say meeting. And in both meetings, he had to commit himself to be part of Krishna's plan. The success of Arjuna was in some ways not his own success. It was the mercy of Krishna. That became very apparent at the last day of the battle of Kurukshetra. On that day, Krishna put an unusual request to Arjuna. He said, this time you step down from the chariot before me. And all the other days, Krishna had jumped from the chariot and then helped Arjuna, who was heavenly clad in armor, to get down from the chariot. But this last day, he said, I stay on the chariot, you step down. So when Krishna then, after Arjuna was down, stepped from the chariot, Arjuna could see by whose strengths he had been successful. Within moments, his chariot was burned to ashes. All the curses, all the brahmastras, all the mystical weapons which had been thrown upon him had been, so to say, made ineffective by Krishna's presence on the chariot, who protected him and made him overcome all his obstacles, all these weapons and so on. But now when Krishna relinquished the chariot, when he was no longer there, the chariot was burned without his protection, without his guidance. Arjuna understood he could not have won the battle of Kurukshetra for the Pandavas. Good. Committing and recommitting. That is the subject. What is the difficulty in doing this? Today we will address this question and perhaps find some answers how to overcome the difficulties. First of all, this will be one of three classes which follow. They are presented in a sequence, and we will open the subject matter. We will look at the difficulties to committing and surrender and see remedies to cure them. Let us please first offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Visaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskachare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare My dear devotees, I want to take you back now in time to the 9th of November, to the year 1971. I don't know the months. There were great problems in our temple in Calcutta. The temple president had become so preoccupied with various forms of managing a business that he had neglected the devotees. He had only eyes and time for his business, although this business was meant to generate Lakshmi for the temple. Everything fell in disarray. The kitchen was supplying food which was dirty, so as a result the devotees caught this terrible diarrhea. And you know, when there's diarrhea and 20 people use the same bathroom, the bathroom becomes like a bathroom in an Indian train station, you know, very dirty. There were rats in the temple. The devotees lost their enthusiasm because there was no regular spiritual program, and devotees could not tolerate this any longer and wanted to leave. But they heard that Srila Prabhupada would come, and they decided to bring all their difficulties to Srila Prabhupada. So he arrived on the 16th of May. Here we have the date. And Prabhupada did something which was unusual. The next day, after hearing the complaints which the devotees had and why they just wanted to abandon the project, he called in what he would call an Easter Goshti, where everyone was requested to attend, and Srila Prabhupada turned to every single devotee asked them to voice their complaint. So after everyone had spoken and Srila Prabhupada had just listened, the mood was very somber, or you could say something like depressed. Everyone turned to Srila Prabhupada to give a solution to all these problems. Finally, Prabhupada spoke. He said that because he had followed the instructions of his Guru Maharaj and come to the West, therefore all the devotees who were there, who were from Western backgrounds mostly, they started their spiritual life in Krishna consciousness. But if Prabhupada would not have had to if he would not have committed himself, there would be no movement, no Calcutta temple. And then he added with great emphasis, "Do you think it was easy for me to leave India all alone and come to America?" The devotees had really not thought about this, whether it was easy or hard for Prabhupada. They had just assumed that it had all been done by Krishna's mercy somehow or other. Then Prabhupada continued, "Do you think it was easy for me when I was alone in Butler, Pennsylvania, and I opened the refrigerator and there was cat food next to my vegetables? Do you think that was easy?" Well, Prabhupada, as he spoke, the devotees were on the verge of tears. They understood Prabhupada's tremendous sacrifice and what he had done for us. And yes, imagine a gentleman in the what was Srila Prabhupada's age again? Please help me. When he came to the West, 69? That's almost 70, you know. And what the austerities he underwent, we know that he was driven out of the apartment where he stayed, or the loft, and he found himself with his few possessions on the street of New York. It was still very cold, and so on. So Prabhupada says, "Do you think that was easy?" And then Srila Prabhupada said, "Three things are required for success in Krishna consciousness. Three things. And you must always rely on them. Enthusiasm, will," most often he would say determination, "and patience." So, my dear devotees, when we asked, what is the difficulty? The difficulty is that we are not always enthusiastic, that we don't always have determination, and that we are expecting results too quickly and don't have the patience. Srila Prabhupada then created a system by which the individual issues were addressed and dealt with. Afterwards, it seems the mood in the temple was really uplifted when he had said, spoken of his own austerities, tapasya, to start it. And when he had given a success formula, then the devotees recommitted themselves really to the project. I'm taking this from a wonderful book by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. Some of you have perhaps read Let There Be a Temple. This is the second book. It describes Prabhupada's travels in India and is called Dancing White Elephants, in case you wish to read. Yes, my dear devotees, there are very real difficulties in spiritual life which can be overcome, and let's look now at these difficulties and see what are possibilities. Spiritual life, I will compare in this lecture with climbing a mountain. This, I must admit, is a very fearsome looking mountain. It doesn't look so, I don't know, I mean, this is all ice, when you are on the other side. It's maybe a little difficult to climb. So I couldn't find a more pleasant mountain or easier mountain, but the image is good. We are starting in our spiritual life on a lower level, and we want to move forward on a higher level. And as we are moving on or progressing up and beyond, I think you say in Pandavasenas, we do meet five very real obstacles that do create a problem for us. The first of the five obstacles is laya or lethargy. It is just something like not really having the guts to do it, not really finding the strength to do it. It refers also to becoming drowsy while you are engaged in hearing and chanting and remembering and other devotional practices. The second obstacle which we face will be vikshepa, or distraction. This refers to ordinary matters which turn up. Perhaps you are very interested in the outcome of football and it grabs you entirely, or perhaps you become distracted on private matters. You think only of pursuing an academic career and or a job and so on. You can there are many possibilities in which you can become distracted. I think you know, or you be all of a sudden are overcome by the romantic urge, and it may distract you from the path. Many things can happen. Vikshepa. The third obstacle is called apratipati. It's an indifference. You feel, oh, who cares anyways, you know. You lose the belief in yourself and in the devotional practices, and then you take a step back. The fourth is called kashaya. They are aversion. You can become captivated by anger, greed, and pride while you are engaged in your devotional practices. And as a result, you can even engage in sinful activities that go against what you your own principles, really. And the fifth is the end result of all these obstacles. It's called rasasvada. Rasa, you know, is taste, and vada means without taste. No one can stay for a long time without taste. If you have no taste in devotional activities, then you will develop taste for material activities. Kavi Kanapur, the great poet, says, either become engaged in an ocean of devotional activities or become engaged in an ocean of unwanted material activities. You know, we are living entities. We always will be inclined to do something that gives us taste. So I would like to return to the image now of the mountain climber. Maybe Vina, you can go one, yes, here. And explain these five difficulties to you in the image of a mountain climber. Imagine someone hears, if you go to this mountain, on the top there is a treasure for you, and also there's great clarity. You are above the clouds, you can overview the land. Who of you has ever been on a mountain top? If I may just ask very briefly, please keep your hand. I want to oh, that's a good number of you. And Mataji's also, Vilasini Radha, you have been a high mountain, or relatively high mountain, yes. You may have felt when you were on top of the mountain a feeling of exhilaration, and you may have enjoyed this feeling of being a little bit aloof from what is going on in the lower levels, you know. It's a very exhilarating and inspiring feeling. Many people have reported that when sitting on a mountaintop, they felt more able to have an overview of their life and put the unimportant things to the side. I don't really need that any longer, and focus on their goal. It's the treasure of clarity, and so on. But before climbing a mountain, especially some of these mountains here, this is in the Annapurna Massif in Nepal. I have been there, and I have climbed there. I've trekked there. I've gone to Muktinath, you know. It was quite high, Muktinath. I believe maybe someone can Google the heights of Muktinath. I can imagine it's 4,000 or so. Someone who's expert in Googling. Here is our...
3,700.
Yes. So how many?
3,700.
3,700. I had heard about this in Muktinath. The Lord is there, the sacred waters, and if you go there and pray, it is said that you will for sure become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. So by this prophecy, you have seen me the last time in this lifetime. But I do remember when we climbed there, I needed to face 5 very real obstacles. The first was dullness. Or Laya. I remember when we started in Kathmandu, I thought, do I have to do this? 3,700 meters. It feels really like 4,000 meters. You notice when you are up there, your breathing is compromised. It is, especially in the night, I once woke up and my lungs were not accustomed to this, and I was failing in my breath. I really needed to get up and do very forceful pranayamas to get back to the normal breathing rhythm. So there's, in the beginning of your spiritual journey, there is this hesitancy. That's why we speak today about commitment and recommitment, because we are sometimes hesitant. We falter. There is a certain heaviness in the body, and also a heaviness and dullness, perhaps in the mind. So that we remember. Yes, I remember these moments when I was fired up and I did really Harinam Sankirtan and in the streets of London, but old age is also there. They call this type of dullness and heaviness of the mind and the body, they call it an imprisonment. When you are imprisoned by dullness and heaviness, dullness of the mind, where you just don't see the point, and body, this lethargic feeling, then you just cannot set out, you cannot go out of the door. And when there is an enthusiastic announcement for Christmas marathon by Keshava Maharaj, we shrink back and we say, maybe when I have children, they can go. You know, I have a dullness in the mind and a heaviness in the body is there. My dear devotees, what do you sometimes experience this dullness and happiness? Not happiness, heaviness in your life? Yes, I assume that those who don't not, they are too shy to not, but I've seen most of you nodding. Heaviness, or the alarm clock. Ring, ring, ring. You are not my boss. Ring, ring. Stop ringing or I'll kill you. There's a certain heaviness in the body, no? And dullness. Oh, Prabhu, I feel a little under the clouds now. Do we have this terminology in English language? Ich bin unter den Wolken, under the clouds, no? In England you say actually I'm under the weather. That is how you say it in English. The same thing. The mind is a little dull. So what could you do? I would like to explore this with you. What do you do about the dullness of the body? Stay dull? Or is there something you can do?
Spend time with those who aren't dull.
Well, I wanted to say, actually, no, I'm speaking now of physical heaviness. I said it wrong. Dullness, we will soon... Dullness is of the mind, is lethargy in the mind, and dullness in the body. Do you experience this sometimes? Oh. Women have their cycles, and once in a month, they feel the heaviness of the body and the dullness of the mind. Is this an hormonal induced thing? Is there anything you can do? Yes?
Perhaps go for a walk,
get some fresh air. Get for a walk and get some fresh air. I saw Krishna Avatar Prabhu, who is with us. Here, body at least. We are speaking about you, Krishna Avatar. He was fiercely walking around the Vedanta Center. Have I noticed? And he was chanting, and he knew, I have to do this, otherwise my body will make me very heavy, and I cannot concentrate. He was with his children. Children education was going on, I think. So that was a dullness, not dullness, that was an absent-mindedness. What can you do? I believe we don't take care enough of our physical aspects of spiritual life. I remember once Prabhupada went on a morning walk with us and on the Juhu beach. Who has gone on a morning walk in the Juhu beach? You can see everyone working out. Even the Hindujas are running fiercely with their guards on the ocean side. Juhu, everyone is quite aware of overcoming the heaviness of the body. So our devotee was a heavy-built devotee who had many extra kilos on him. He laughed and said, "Ah, bodily consciousness." Prabhupada called him to reason, and he said, "Yeah, you never do any exercise, but you are very expert in sleeping." Srila Prabhupada, when he was in a teacher's mood, he was not, he wouldn't let anything pass, you know. He was just, better you do some yoga and sleep less, he said. Yes. So the heaviness of the body is an obstacle, no? Dullness of the mind, what can you do? You are still a little dull. I expect 50 hands going up to hear our Rasa Vihari.
Take a cold shower.
I could not.
Take a cold shower.
That's for the mind?
Yeah.
I would say that's more something you do for the body, no? Or but it refreshes the mind. Yes. Oh yeah.
Okay, trade ideas
when I yeah. Yes, many people jump into the ice now. This is the new fad in the USA. Don't worry, it will come also to London, and everyone will disappear in the refrigerator. That's a modern thing, you know, but I have seen the dullness of the mind goes very quickly if you read, for instance, in these wonderful biographies of Srila Prabhupada and find this determined action. You feel like, my God, he was 70 plus years when he did all this. And he did so much of a sacrifice. My dear devotees, you will never ever climb the mountain if you don't deal with the dullness of the mind and the heaviness of the body. These are real. I joked with one devotee yesterday, you know. To be there at 5:30, I have to get up quite early because I do a few things before I appear in public, and I said, "Oh my God, I will have to get up at this unholy time," you know, because it's very early. I understood. I have to do this now if I want to be there for my service, you know. You have to overcome the heaviness of the body. And even when my ring, 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 said I said, I do not appreciate your sound very much, but I will nevertheless get up here. I have something to do, no? What is always also very good is to find in your life a reason why you should overcome the dullness of the mind and the body. I know when some of you go to the universities and you know, if I don't show up on time now, I will have to repeat the year, it will be a costly expense. I just can't afford to be just lazy now or be a victim of liar of laziness. And you are able to get up because you have a good goal in front of you. I want to finish this boring university and get on with life, you know, or so on. I know some of you have great interest in the university because you picked subjects that are really of interest for you. Then the second, vikshepya. Imagine this you can stay here. Imagine this person who wants to climb a mountain. He comes and he walks and all of a sudden he happens to come on across a restaurant. There is ample food, there are good beverages, there are interesting people who are hanging out in the restaurant. There's really everything for each of the senses. There is food for the tongue, there is music for the ears, there are good smells from the kitchen. There are interesting people. Perhaps there are loose men and loose ladies for the sense of touch. And what else do we have?
Eyes.
What?
Eyes.
Eyes, yeah. And just interesting people and dishes. So if the person who wants to come on the top of the mountain becomes distracted by the views in the restaurant or the distracting things in the restaurant, he will actually stay there and he will not move on. You have to be very much aware that as you move in your spiritual journey, you will meet the restaurant of the of Maya with the tastes that are of immediate excitement. You know, these give us pleasure, these distractions of food or what is most of the devotees distracted from Maya. Better I don't say it because we never speak about these things in public. But you all know there are some heavy distractions out there in Maya's kingdom. So I don't want to give examples because I want to come to a very inspiring place and therefore not talk so long about the obstacles. The problem why these distractions appear so powerful is because they give you an immediate pleasure. It's called prayas in Sanskrit, whereas Krishna conscious practice often gives you only after some time a pleasure. It's called shreyas, right? You have heard about the distinction. Distractions are so dangerous, or vikshepa is so dangerous, because you really get something out of it, something small. That is I don't know if any one of you took drugs like alcohol, cigarettes, or too much sweets, gulab jamins, rasagulas, you know. It has a similar effect. It says when you drink alcohol, no, if you drink an orange juice before you go to bed, it turns in the night into alcohol in your stomach, and you are stoned. you know, we are used to. I mean, you have an Indian cuisine. There's a lot of soft drugs in there. And we like them. The narcomanian, what is it called, the drug addict, he likes the drugs. Why? Because they give him an instant satisfaction. Have some of you drunk alcohol? You, after 10 minutes, the effect of alcohol is there. It's very calming and very relaxing. And you become, and therefore it is a reliable friend for many people. For Russians, vodka, you know, like anything. It's a reliable friend. It's always there for you. But as it turns out, in the long run, it's really a bad friendship, a very bad and dangerous friendships. So distractions also are reliable friends. When you come home after you have done so much service, and then, oh, the computer is also there. Oh, there are also some interesting programs. I mean, I don't talk about it to my friends, but and you know, and there is some scenes I can see which I do not see very easily in life. So it's immediately there, but it distracts you from your goal. Someone who stays all the time in the restaurant will not get to the peak. What could you do against distractions? Is it a good question? We want workable things. Don't say to become a pure devotee. You know, that is long-term goal. Krishna Kirtan.
I remember I came to your place once and you had post-it notes on the telephone and the mirrors, and I can't remember what it said on the telephone, but it was a reminder to say, don't get distracted by this.
Yeah. The phone, I have renounced phones entirely, but when I had a phone, I had always, you know, always chant Hare Krishna while you do your other work, because everything you do by your work will be lost one day, and only the chanting. So when someone phoned, I saw my note, oops, I forgot to say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare. You know, and I would do, yes, I have, I had this, maybe I should do this again. It's this very simple, post-it notes, put them, which remind you, like, for instance, on the mirror, I always said, you are not the body. It's a good reminder. So this is something very practical. What the essence of it is, you just think of the of your goals. Anything else about distractions which could work? Oh yeah.
So that it re-energizes why I stopped doing it in the first place.
Oh, wonderful. Our devotee speaks about journaling and he can revisit what he had. I do this a lot during my holy name retreats. When the devotees are on that heightened level of enthusiasm, I ask them to write a letter to themselves in 3 months. Then I collect the letters, I keep them, and after 3 months I mail these letters to the persons. Is it clear what I'm saying? And he reads, my dear Sachinandan Swami, if I receive my letter, this works really, this chanting. Huh? Really, I wrote this, my God. I'm so ecstatic at the moment. I'm here at the Japa retreat and I want to just tell you, go back to your experience in the Japa retreat. Okay, sit down properly, you know, reserve for a quality time. And I'm reading this. It's me who writes this to me. I mean, I don't want to ignore myself. I'm not, you know. It works wonders. So the journaling does something the same. You go back to what you wrote and so on. It said great people do this. They use this trick. They journal about the good things in their life. And then when they are a little under the weather, I mean, we'll use your terminology here, which will happen to every one of us, they go back to this. Thank you. These are very practical things. But someone may say, yes, but I'm not in this writing stuff. This is for the ladies who have these pink journals, you know. anything else against distractions? Yeah.
You may choose to keep your mobile phone in a totally different place, so like downstairs, not in your
sleeping place. Yeah.
Like where you chant, my phone is upstairs where I'm not going to be chanting.
Yeah. Do you sometimes do this, Kapila?
No,
Krishna Charan. Yes. We are not looking, we are looking, of course, for good things to do, but it is very powerful when you share and you share something which you do. No? But you say you sometimes do it. Yeah. Many say that you have to be careful to not become too addicted to this social media. If you, in the very beginning of the day, you go, oh, did someone see my post? Did they like it? You know, and so on. You will be removed more and more from yourself. And you are, there are addiction. I mean, it is sometimes it's a problem that Shiti Shakti needs to take care of in Harrow Street, or you know, is it Harrow Street? Or Harley Street, you know, where the doctors, the expensive doctors live. it can be a problem. You know, in psychology they say when a distraction comes up, tolerate it for 10 minutes and then it usually goes down. They speak about sexual urges, which come up as examples, or the desire to have a drink. You know, this is the materialists are saying it. I would also like to say, when you face your distraction, tolerate it, because they come in waves, smaller, and waves have a peak, and then they have a, in German we would say a valley, or a low point. So tolerate, learn this simple art to tolerate. Obviously, the best is if you can work on getting a higher taste, and I will describe this a little bit more in the in the end of my class. It says bhakti parishano bhavo virakti. If you feel bhakti, devotion in your heart, and you have some experience of Krishna, then it's very easy to practice detachment from these distractions. Whatever it is, you have to be careful. Perhaps you have to also learn a simple word with two letters. It's called no. You know, in the face of distraction. No, thank you. This is what it, in the fifth canto, it is said, one should ignore the mind. One should learn to ignore the mind. Krishna, 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 Krishna. You please think on your own, because you will see Maya will open her restaurant on your way. You can get anything you want in Maya's restaurant. You know, it will open. It's open day and night. Okay, ready to continue your climb? Good. There will be, so we are continuing. We are that person. He's already quite high there. And there will be a third obstacle. It's called apratipati. You have written it already down. It means an indifference. I just can't go on. You might have this problem. That you meet people who sow the seed of doubt into your mind, and because you have not been careful enough to get this doubt out, it has grown to a big degree. It is this doubt is a very, very heavy. It can manifest as self-doubt. Oh, I tried so often, I just can't do it, you know. Self-doubt is a very big problem for our devotees. And when you develop self-doubt, you naturally stop endeavoring. People, literature, the overexposure to this sensualist culture in which we live, all this can bring doubt so that you become indifferent. There is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which is very much telling about doubt, and I request you to chant with me. Agyas Shashradanas, Shashradanas, cha samshayatma vinashyati nayam loko stina paro nasukam samshayatmana. But ignorant and faithless persons, in case you want to know this verse, I think it's a very good verse to know. Fourth chapter, please, text 40. The translation says, but ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. So the two people are called here, ignorant people and people who have no faith. And then a third person is given. It's the one who has doubts. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. Ignorant people are not so bad. They can be told proper knowledge, and so do faithless persons. If they meet a person who has a Krishna conscious experience and says, no, when you, I have personally experienced when you do this, it works, they stand a chance. But those who are samshayat manaha, whose atma, whose person is filled with doubts, they cannot be happy in this world nor in the next world. I think I have seen some of our devotees who are plagued by this demon of doubt, and ultimately it makes one indifferent to the practice. What I see very much prevalent is, oh look, so many people have failed. So such a fallout. Or look at our media after all these years. I mean, in Britain you have a good media. People are finding you humorous when you dance. But in other countries we really have a bad media. And devotees would think, see it, people cannot catch on to it. And they develop this doubt which has not been addressed properly, and then they just lead an unhappy life in this world and in the next world. They can't be happy in anything they do. So this indifferent, because they have become indifferent. Keshava Maharaj once told something he always tells very interesting things, but I remember something which I hold in my head. He said, in any movement, also in a business or in a whatever company or congregation where people come together, you have the following ratio amongst people. There are 10% who are super enthusiastic, and there are 10% who are super doubtful. They are just already with one of their foot, they are out of it. Just wait for the right moment. Both of them are not so statistically interesting, because it's only 10% who are super enthusiastic. And the other 10% are doubtful. What is interesting is who are the 80%, because that's the statistically bigger number. And these are people who are somewhat okay with it. You know, I believe in Krishna. But they are neither really committed to do something for Krishna, nor are they, doubting and critical and so on. They're just hanging out there in nobody's land. And therefore, those who organized this trip have said, Prabhu's commitment is good for you. And other Prabhu's recommitment is also very good for you. Because you will come out of this indifferent zone where you just hang on and where you are not really happy in doing it. So what could be a remedy here of this indifference? Yes, Jagannath Sutta Prabhu.
Jagannath
Charan Prabhu, yes.
So having an experience like this where we come out of our normal routine,
yeah,
to be on a retreat, to come together with a very specific purpose, in that collective energy, I find it's helpful to kind of come out of
this indifferent or this somewhat laid-back thing. Yes, I have neglected to look in the Mataji direction. Anything you could think of which is helpful? Mm-hmm. I think I address very real problems. Are you finding it uncomfortable that we get so personal? I somehow suffer because I have seen in England we are not really confronting these things. How are you? Fine. Yes. Mataji's aside. No, here's one Mataji, please.
Maybe having a guide or a mentor that kind of knows when you're just hanging around and can give you a little push.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. This is often seen, what our devotee says, what our Vaishnavi says, yes. If you have someone who you trust as a mentor and who can give you a little push. Sometimes they don't even need to speak much. You just need to see them and you go, oh. Isn't it? You become just inspired. Do you have inspiring people in your life? When you meet them, you're like, yes, I will also do. I will also. I'm not dead yet. Yes. And if he starts to speak to us, oh, yes, very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, Rasa Bihari, I think I saw your hand.
I was going to say something similar, just to associate with those that are very enthusiastic.
Yes, yes. I wrote down in my notes, meeting saintly devotees throws open a door to our rich spiritual treasures. Our spiritual treasures, really. Any other? What can bring us out of this indifferent zone? Yes, I think Chaitanya is your good name?
Nimai Chandra.
Nimai Chandra. Oh, sorry, I'm giving too many new names. You know? It's a bad habit. Yes.
Creating a forum, because the people that are often not fully committed, they just haven't had an opportunity where they have a forum to be able to inquire and understand deeper.
Yeah.
So creating that forum sometimes just really helps for them to understand things on a deeper level, and then from that, with other people, building a journey going forward.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada did this in Calcutta on the 6th of May. He just brought everyone and he requested everyone to bring it on the table, or as you say in England, to bring it on. No. I had in my list something which has helped me to turn the tables totally, to go into a situation where one can make a spiritual experience. Sometimes, my dear devotees, going on pilgrimage works wonders. You leave your ordinary life behind you go into a totally new situation and you meet Krishna. And then you think, wow, this is why we have created this retreat place, to go just in a total new situation. And also we have in there are retreat places in our movement. There's the Govardhan Eco Village, which offers such retreats. There's the Govardhan Retreat Center in Vrindavan, which offers it. Or you can do a total retreat on your own. You can go with a good friend north, where the what is it called? The pipers are. Bag, what?
Bagpipe.
It's not about that. It's just going in a totally new situation, maybe where the lakes are, and you know, and just go in a cottage and just only chant, only read Bhagavatam. Let your mobile phone linger on in London. I mean, maybe that's a little extreme, but you know, making a devotional experience, my dear devotees, is so absolutely strengthening. We have one scripture which we read, where one individual talks about his devotional experience to someone else, and his experience is so strong, it speaks so loud, that the other becomes a pure devotee. Who knows the name of that scripture? I think you all know it. Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There you find Gop Kumar describing his own journey and the experiences he made. And to one devotee, one Brahmin, I believe his name was Janashama, and just by sharing these experiences and by inviting him to have a similar experience, this person becomes in a quick time very, very, very advanced, so advanced that he gets the darshan of Krishna. Experience speaks louder than millions of theories to you. And therefore, why not do things like an experience I can really recommend here in London is to go on the Harinam Saturday night, Harinam fever, you know. It's really... Or I remember our Harsh Prabhu, he went on the experience of book distribution. I think you will remember this for the rest of the life, you know. How? Because you must have felt there were times when you just thought it's not possible to go on, and then all of a sudden Krishna came to your help, and somehow you were able to overcome that low point, and again, the books went out, we say like this. They went out. We all know spiritual experiences, my dear devotees. Don't be afraid. Do things like this Pandavasena summer trip. We have the summer trip where we go to amazing places. Where do we go this year? Oh, I know this place. Or go on pilgrimage or so. That will help you kill this indifference, which otherwise kills you. The next obstacle, are you still walking?
Yes.
Which turns up is kashaya. It means being captivated by anger, greed, and pride, and then developing ill will and aversion, and then going, and this dislike, you know, you become really like, ah, I don't like this any longer. Your pride gets the better portion of you, the anger. It's almost like, imagine this person walks and it starts to rain. Then he will say, I don't like rain, and goes down again. Or maybe the path is full of potholes. Do you say like this in English? There may be potholes on the path. And he's like, I want a smooth path, but this is really primitive. It is only good to be traversed by Yetis or by Neanderthal men, but not by me. You know. So developing this aversion and distaste, it can happen. It can happen. Devotees can even get on your nerves. Has this happened? No, never. You know, and then you need to check. This is now Kashaya, which comes. A very good remedy, which I want to give you here. A remedy against this, which leads ultimately to sinful activities, is given in the Bhagavatam. But I want to hear from you first. What could be a remedy against the sins that you do? The anger, the pride, the greed, which gets the better half of you and makes you turn away from the path. And only the pin drop silence in the audience answered this enthusiastic speaker. Kripa.
Prayer to ask Krishna to not have that feeling, but instead replace it with another feeling.
Yeah. That sometimes works wonders. You have to confront what it is, and you can say to the Lord, I tried on my own, I don't have the strength really. Please replace this with a better feeling. Others? Yes, Prabhu.
Engaging those propensities in something more spiritual, Krishna conscious, like greed for hearing pastimes about Krishna.
Greed for hearing pastimes of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Yes?
And discussing it with a close friend, because often in your head it feels bigger than it actually is.
Yeah. Feels bigger than it actually is in your head. The mind can be like a magnifying glass, which doesn't belong in the head. This is for librarians, you know, in the library, but not in the head. Discussing with friends brings out many things, but it does take courage, and it may require that you have developed such type of trusting friendships where you feel just safe to say, I have this aversion, I dislike this particular person very much, and I know it's not good, I know it is a block for me, but I can't cross over it. Any other here? Yes, I don't see so good in the distance. I will purchase a distant glass, but yes.
Sometimes just acknowledging that you have it to make friends with the feeling itself, first of all, before we just to not be afraid of it, basically. Not to be afraid that this feeling has come. Look at it for what it is, first of all, before we share it, to understand that it's come and not feel like, oh, I'm a devotee, that shouldn't be happening. The aversion of pushing something out of your head.
This doesn't work on the end. What good can suppression do? You have to but not perhaps engage in it. You say acknowledge that it is there. Only the things you acknowledge, you can deal with them. If you never acknowledge and live in some artificial narrative, you know, then you can never ever deal with it and cure it. There's a very interesting statement. God said, love your enemy. So I decided to love myself. I would say, maybe you don't need to love everything, but acknowledge this is how I am. I have to accept that. And then a lot of tension goes, you know. I will give you now a very interesting answer, which I believe it will not come up because it's so unexpected. My dear devotees, when you feel overwhelmed by these tendencies, anger, greed and pride, which drive you towards sinful things and so bad things, you can starve these things by performing austerity. If you perform austerities, these things, these tendencies, which we all have, don't get fed. Now, they are not fed by you. There's a very interesting section in the Bhagavatam about the benefit of austerities, and because this is so counter the trend of modern society in which we live, you might like to look at this. It is in the second canto, chapter 9, text 24. There is one verse, but there is a whole section which comes before that. And Prabhupada writes about this. Are you interested in this subject?
Yes.
In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead. So Prabhupada says, austerities for them, for their own sake, is not necessary. One must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. And then he says his famous sentence, an easygoing life and the attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. Should I read it again?
Yes.
Because it is... It needs full attention and it needs to go in. An easygoing life and attainment of perfection in transcendental realization cannot go together. On simple words, an easygoing life and happiness in Krishna consciousness can't go together. You have to be willing to do such austerities as getting up early, yeah, for the benefit of performing sadhana. It always has to be linked with the spiritual thing. You have to be willing to not eat such heavy food in the evening for the benefit of being more awake in the morning, no? You have to be prepared to not do binge looking, dare I say it, in order to have your mind free for reading with taste. You know, this type of little austerities are necessary. How do you find this sentence? I repeat this for you too, for your own reading pleasure. Canto 2. Chapter 9, text what?
24.
You know everything. Good. Finally, the last one. What was the last obstacle? Rasasvada. What does this mean, please? Taste for the mundane. I want to say it often is seen in us in our restlessness. Do you know this when you chant down and your mind is so restless? Oh no, I could be doing 1,000 other more fulfilling things than just to chew out these names or chew on dried scent now. And you are restless, or during a lecture you think, oh, when is this over? Can I just get my mobile phone out and do some interesting texting here? The mind is like a monkey in this restless phase. Have you ever watched the monkeys in Vrindavan? One moment they grab something, then they drop it, then they scamper over the courtyard, then they stop and go and threaten. The next moment they shriek in terror, yahoo, and just run away. They are never still. They never do anything for a long time. They are monkeys. And our mind is a monkey mind often. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, it needs to be said. So, it can't settle in the moment. It constantly jumps. Imagine this person wants to climb on the top of the mountain, but some mountain bikers come down and. He says, stop, what are you doing? Oh, we are doing the best of sports, mountain biking. And what do you get out of it? Well, when we just zoom down the mountain, you can't imagine the feeling. It is better than... And then they give their analogies, which we don't want to repeat. And so on. And then the person who wants to go to the top thing, oh, I mean, mountain biking, that's where it's at, to just zoom down the mountain. Well, when I was at the restaurant, I saw they offered some mountain bikes. I could rent one. Why don't I rent one and then go from the restaurant zoop, down like a Ferrari, you know, and Rasasvatar. Developing taste for the mundane means to race down the mountain and not to climb it, not to move to, and come to your treasures. In this way, my dear devotees, there's a remedy against taste for the mundane. And I want to just mention it here without looking at. Have contact with a proper Vaishnava. Have contact with us. Think of your spiritual master and his example. I must say, I get so much enthusiasm for spiritual life when I read books like this about Srila Prabhupada. I also read about other saints. I get so much example, so much happiness by their example. It is said the desires of the conditioned souls are like small waves on a river, but when the river comes to the ocean and meets the powerful ocean waves, the ocean waves subdue or overcome the small desires. So when you meet the big desires from the big mind of your spiritual master and connect with that, it will overcome your small-mindedness. Hare Krishna. How did you find this? Very real, isn't it? I want to end this. The whole thing, Vinay will show us the five obstacles which I hear. Lethargy, distraction, indifference, aversion, and taste for the mundane. All of this, obviously, can be easily overcome by experiencing a higher taste. That is it. And for this, we have sadhana, or spiritual practice. In your spiritual practice, my dear everyone, you have to learn to do it in a way that you start to look forward to doing it. You have to prime your spiritual sadhana, that it really gives you a lot of juice, as they say in London Harbour. Do you know the word priming? I learned this in India. When you have these pumps, you go, no water comes. It sounds like a donkey, you know. If you want that the pump develops what is called traction and pulls the water from underneath the ground, you have to prime the pump. And the way you do it is you take water from some source, pour it into your hand pump, and then go, and then you already feel, whoop, now it has some, I'm pressing against some weight, and soon, zoom, 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 the water comes out. First it's dirty, and then it comes out and it's clear water, which you can use for all purposes where you need it. In the same way, my dear devotees, there needs to be a spiritual practice in your life to which you are looking forward. It may be something a little unconventional. It may be you go into the garden and take care of a plant, you know, some fruit tree, so that you can offer fruits to Krishna. It must be something you are really feeling genuine taste. Do you have such a practice, Nanda Gopa, to which you are looking forward? You have. I can imagine, because after all these long years, you are still very enthusiastic and inspiring. I must share with you a practice which I have. It's the Bhagavatam. I study it, believe it or not. I have become a student in one online classroom. I can only recommend it. We have one devotee in our movement who has really learned the Bhagavatam with the comments of the acharyas, and he has worked, and his courses are now offered at the university. One can get university accreditation because it's so systematic. His name is Gauranga Darshan from the Govardhan Eco Village, and there's an online course. About 200 devotees take part in that online thing, you know, when it is, and many load it down. It's twice in a year. Not in a year, in a week, I wanted to say, for 1.5 hours. It's manageable. You can, sometimes it's Saturday and Sunday, sometimes we don't have time, but we can find it on the internet and then see it and so on. And for me, this practice has given me taste. There were other times in my life when I had taste, that before I chanted, I would have a picture of Radha Gopinath, or Tota Gopinath, from that's the deity which Gadadhar Pandit worshipped. It was given to him, this worship, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I would offer every day an incense. When I was this year in Vrindavan, I did something I never do. I bought a very, 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 very photogenic, what is it called? How do you call this? A deep? A deep holder? The lamp where you put the deep in? And it's just so attractive, this thing. It shows Garuda holding this little vessel where you put the deep. And for my childlike mind, this was very interesting, and I was offering every day a full Arctic for Giriraj, because it was just such a thing I liked, and I looked forward. I tricked my mind, you know. I never do puja because I'm very, very busy person, and I have other ways in which I worship my Lord, mostly kirtan or japa and so on. But I did archana. I induced myself. Those who are parents know, if they want their children to do something, they have to somehow make it attractive for them. If you just give advice all the time and push the poor thing, the poor child to do things, he will eventually rebel and just sit in the corner and say, you can do anything you want. You can sell me to the gypsies. I will not do it. Maybe this is not ethnically correct. If I said something foolish, I have nothing against any group of people. So just to be. So you have to trick your mind also so that you can anticipate doing something. Anticipation. Do you know this word? Or do I say it correctly? I wanted to say it creates very positive emotions. But feeling of, oh, I have to do this. I promised this when I was in a highly vulnerable position. That was just before I got my new name. At that time, before my initiation, I was ready to do everything. And so on. If you just do it like this, then you will not be able to do it. So step one, I say, become aware of at least one thing in Krishna consciousness that you can genuinely look forward to. This awareness will act as the priming factor which will prime you. Then define a minimal action step. This is something for you who like to take notes. I should have had a slide for this. I was not able to produce this slide in the right time. Define minimal action steps. And third of all, let the good experience sink in. I want to give you an example, my own example. I like books. I was born with books next to me. I'm just a book lover, and I began to appreciate the Bhagavatam. But I have not so much time, so I defined an action step. Each week I'm going to this online course, and I try to catch up if I just have no time, if I have service to do at that time. A minimal action step. And then this is now something absolutely new for you. Let the good things sink in. Spend a moment. Did I have a new insight when I read the Bhagavatam? Did my mind expand and I saw the bigger picture of my life, for instance? Did I find a new answer for it? Or did I feel more connected with Krishna, perhaps? Something like this. You have to let the good thing sink in. Ready for another complicated point? It's the last point you hear today.
Yes.
Have you heard about the science of the neuroscience?
Yes.
It means when you do things over, one important statement of this is that neurons that fire together wire together. What this means is when you do things over and over again, it creates a certain pattern in your mind so that you do it unconsciously after some time. Or to speak in the ISKCON language, you develop a habit. Habit is something which you comes to you, no? It comes, even if you don't like it. The habit is there. Oh, my habit is to criticize, and then you blah blah blah. You begin to criticize, no? Habits. This comes because you have done it so often that this mental state of criticism has become a neural trait. Something which is a state which you occasionally have becomes a trait. Trait, you find this word in the word character trait. You know, it means something that is now welded upon you, your psychology. It's connected with you. So neurons that fire together, wire together, creates physically in your brain a certain pattern which is repeating itself automatically. Day after day, your mind is building your brain. This is what is called in science neuroplasticity. I have to read it. Yeah. Neuroplasticity. Say it in English, someone who knows good English. Yes, thank you. Neuroplasticity. Anyways, this is one of these tongue breakers. What it means is when you do day after day something, you program yourself and it goes automatically. So you need to take a few extra seconds to stay with a positive experience, even if it's something like, oh, I was breathing today properly. Ooh, and let that experience sink in. And what that will do is that tomorrow you will also breathe properly. Or if you let it sink in that, oh my God, this retreat I learned something new. It was wonderful. And you stay with that feeling of wonderfulness, then this will stay with you and it will echo in you. Or the kirtan. Wow, I really was digging that kirtan. We say in English like this? Not so much. That we say in New York. I really wasn't that nice. That is what we say in England. We use the word nice very often. You know. That was a very good kirtan, you know. So if you stay with that experience, I like this kirtan, you will create something new in your brain and you will help turn a passing thing, a passing mental state, into a lasting neural structure. Or, to speak it in ISKCON language, you will replace an old habit with a new habit that serves you more. But you have to stay with that thing. You can't just rush by it. No? Let it sink into your thing. Take in the good. Oh, we take in so much of the bad by just the news or just staying in this world. And then we develop some stinking thinking, which is not good for us. Hare Krishna. So, coming back to our original photo, please go back, Vinay, just one. I wish all of you a good climb. First of all, you need to identify the obstacles when they turn up. Don't just gloss over them. When someone asks you how was this retreat, and you say fine, like you say to everything in a non-committal London tongue, you can better say, well, I really appreciated Gaur Krishna's kirtan, for instance, if you did, and I was so bored in Sachinandan Swami's lecture, you know. So you acknowledge your reaction, you know, and from there you can continue. You know, be first of all, acknowledge your obstacles, your distractions, and then find out what you can do instead, what you can do better. And let us remember Prabhupada's quote, we will go one slide back. Three things are required for success in Krishna consciousness, and you must always rely on them. Rely means depend on them. Enthusiasm, will or determination, and patience. He said these three things in this wonderful London, Calcutta, Easter Gosti, where he brought the devotees back to a committed, enthusiastic practice. We have, by the way, this temple still. It's a very nice temple in Albert Street. There's a nice guest house in case you want to visit. And there are rooms for you on your way to Mayapur, perhaps. So, yes. So I've said what I wanted to say. Thank you very much for listening. I am again a little bit sorry. I have taken up all the time that is allotted to this and therefore will not be able to answer any questions. But I think with Harsh's excellent summary, which he usually does, he will clarify everything. Thank you very much. I hope this was practical. Tomorrow I will talk about a hidden secret. If you know that, it will be easy for you to commit yourself. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Please, Hare. Big round, very well for that amazing class. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for this amazing first morning session. Okay, I did try to summarize your class in a poem, so if it's okay, I will.
Release, please, you are an accomplished poet.
Maharaj first started with three successes for self-realization: enthusiasm, patience, and strong determination. Sounds simple enough, but when put into reality, we're faced with obstacles which make it a difficulty. Lethargy, distraction, indifference, and aversion all lead to taste for the mundane and unexpected diversion. Trying to climb the mountain of bhakti, where we want to get higher, but we might find ourselves distracted by the restaurant of Maya. Alcohol, drugs, and Netflix are all pulling our senses in. Maya so strong, trying to make us commit a sin. And we all fall for this, don't try and hide it under the rug. Even your will of jamun is considered a soft drug. A tip to help with distractions: just wait 10 minutes. You'll see that the urge will die down. Simple, isn't it? Or if we feel our body is run down with strong lethargy, go out, get fresh air, try yoga, you'll regain your energy. Or if you're feeling indifferent, saying what's the point of it all, then write down your goal, and motivation will call. If we're struggling with aversion and sinful activity, that could be a sign that we need to increase our austerity. Or maybe we find ourselves having a taste for the mundane, We should speak with a great devotee and they'll keep us sane.
Very good.
With all this wisdom in mind, let's make a life centered around spirituality and let's recommit to the mission for what is the difficulty.
Bravo! Bravo!
For Maharaj, because he gave such an amazing class with so many amazing stories and the slides as well. I'm just thinking it's very accessible for all of us, so let's also have a round of applause.